Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking to Mops and Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
That's right. The boys are back in town, folks. Yeah, baby. You bet your sweet baby. It's me, the rock star, the Swede. Chris is on tonight and got some great announcements. My partner, my friend, my business manager, my agent, Mr. Mark Bosco is with us also. A couple of great big announcements tonight. But before we get into the show and before I tell everybody what's been going on and where we've been and what's been happening, I want to bring the dark side out first real quick. I just got notified about 3 days ago. Good friend, one of our team members, Mike Green, from down there in the Carolinas, he passed in July. hell of a man, hell of a man. Great researcher, author of a book, high credentials, came from a good pedigree. And if his family's listening and his kids, please accept our condolences here at the Bigfoot Radio and all of our team members. He's going to be greatly missed by everybody around the world for his contributions and his books and what he's done in the Bigfoot world. So I'm sure he's up there looking down on us here Wednesday night and saying, you go get him, Tommy boy. And by the way, if you want to know who, you know, Michael Green is, you go to our website, infrabigfoot.com, and you will see under the team members, and gives a little synopsis. And more so than that, going into the segue of my friend and my good pal, agent and businessman, Mark Bosco, we put up on the website, you can see it right now, you have to see this, a repackaged Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, ladies and gentlemen. The trailer is up. It is so dynamite that you'll say, you'll keep wanting to looking at it over and over and over. That's how cool it is. And they've repackaged this thing, and it's coming out before you know it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a little preview vocalization-wise, but you need to go to your computer, whether it's a desktop or laptop or those small little ones, whatever the hell you call, or even your phone, searchingforbigfoot.com, ladies and gentlemen, and this is what you're going to hear.
Hiding for centuries in the farthest corners of our land, sightings persist, evidence uncovered, long hunted, but never found, until a legendary Bigfoot hunter stopped the world with his announcement of a capture. As millions watched and millions more tried, the internet crashed. All for a glimpse of the beast. Now hear the true story of one of the greatest hoaxes ever staged.
I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just because Mark is on the show with us here tonight, but they did an exceptional job on this thing. And without any further ado, let's bring him on with us. He's out there in the Ohios, back there in Ohio. And Mark, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom.
Thanks for being with us. I know it's a time difference. It's after 10 o'clock. But I'll tell you, this repackaging and this trailer is just making a sensation around the globe, buddy. Just unbelievable.
You make it easy, Tom. You know that the content was there. It's time that I know you're going to talk about some of this stuff later, but it's a good timing. The film, you know, tells a compelling story, one that more people need to hear. It's the kind of documentary entertainment that people love, you know, a true story with all the players, a lot of drama, a lot of intrigue, money getting ripped off, legalities, shutting down the internet. And, you know, we had the opportunity to bring you into the studio, do some nice new footage and intros, talk about the film a little bit. We remastered sections of the film to clean it up. You know, that's what they do when they re-release and remaster, you know, films that people want to see again. And we're excited about it. I mean, the trailer is meant to, you know, get people excited once again to hear this story. One that really, you know, did something that nobody else, I don't think, has done since, Tom. You know, I'm not sure how many times one person had the power to create internet blackouts of major news sites like you did. And I mean, that's probably one in five times that's happened in the history of the internet.
And you know what, Mark? And thank you for that, by the way, in a good way. Okay. Consequently, due to the fact of the subject matter that we had there, it was great, but the people who perpetrated this thing were just downright scoundrels and pieces of shit. And I'll tell you what, we have, and I'm going to bring on Chris Contreras with us, and I'm glad you're with us also, Mark, because, and I'm only going to talk about this briefly because it's going to come to a head, and we're going to have it done on film, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me very closely. On film, we're going to do a little ditty showing about a guy that had befriended us and came on a bunch of expeditions on my dime, and he actually got taught the business by myself and my team members. And he became a big this and a big that and everything else. And by the way, this was the guy that introduced me and my team to the two scoundrels there in Georgia, the two cops. And remember this, he introduced me to them. I never knew anything about these people, okay? Well, Chris Contreras, he's become like my son, okay? And go to find out the lineage. When he grew up, he used to listen to me on radio, on TV, and found out through his neighbor, who was one of my kumbaris, was very close to him when he was growing up, and he found out, oh, my God, that's Tom Biscardi, the famous Bigfoot hunter? Well, he became a legend in his own rights. He knows about the Bigfoot world and the Bigfoot and what goes on, and he's a quick study. 4 days ago, he calls me up and he says, Tom, I says, what? You're all excited. He says, I got to come and see your movies. I have an idea. So Sunday, I invite him over for dinner with a few other people, and I played Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. When he saw this person who was in these videos saying, oh, I just heard the creature. I just saw the creature. There he goes. Yes, I saw it. And it's in real time, ladies and gentlemen. So between Mark, my brother for many years now, as a matter of fact, it's what, 12 and 4, 16 years we've been together.
Yep. And yes, it has.
We met during this Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. You bet. I got that email from you. Okay. We've been together, folks, for 16 years. So now, through the wonderment of the internet and what we've got, because remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen, film does not lie. It's real time. Okay. It's catching everything in real time. Well, this moron is sitting there incriminating himself. And so calling me a hoaxer, well, if I'm a hoaxer, who is he? And you're going to see him in these little ditties say, there's the creature. I just saw it. I was down on the road, went by myself. There he goes. Okay? So at this point in time, I just want to bring him to you. It's okay with you, Mark. And we'll get into everything about Thailand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all that stuff. Chris, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay. Is there anything you want to add to that, what I just said?
Well, you know, in a nutshell, like I said, and I've been saying this forever, ever since everything went down, ever since the whole thing went down, what was it, 2007, 2008, because I had started to research all this, you know, and when I started getting it, when I finally came out of my, you know, I kept my experience to myself for 15 years until my kid was a certain age. But then when I realized I was taking him to fish where I was having my experiences that all the shows started coming on TV, I started getting into it. I dove in head first and I didn't look back. And, you know, the head name, you know, I was all over the internet searching and digging and pulling every piece of information I could to make sense of what happened to me. And Tom Biscardi kept coming up. Tom Biscardi this, Tom Biscardi, he was all over the place, all over the YouTube. And, you know, there was a couple other names, but really Tom was the captain. He was the leader. He was basically the Don, you know. There was nobody else out there who was putting more boots on the ground, putting more miles on those boots, just everywhere. Basically, he was the pioneer that Finding Bigfoot copied from. They saw him, and then they decided they were going to copy what you were doing. And so, you know, and then when the whole, you know, Bigfoot in the box thing came out, I shook my head in disbelief because I said, no, not Tom. This guy's not going to be, this is not him. This is not this guy. This guy's got a passion. There's no way a guy with the biggest name, the most credibility, no way in hell is this guy going to put himself in that lower category of stupidity on purpose. You know, I mean, this is obviously there's something going wrong here. And right off the bat, you know, my first notion was he actually had the body. And my first opinion was possibly that you got pressed by the government, that the government basically threatened you and said, look, you're going to put this little monkey suit out and you're going to shut up, or we're going to shut you down. We're going to put you in prison. You need to just go along with the program, or we're going to screw you up big time. And I felt bad because I knew that you weren't guilty of this mess. And, you know, a few years later, I talked to a friend, had no idea that Tom was a friend of a friend's grandfather that I grew up with. And when I found out, when I talked to my friend's dad, Joe, I was telling him what I was doing, what I had gotten into, this research that I do. He said, oh, have you ever heard of Tom Biscardi? I said, sure, absolutely, of course. Who doesn't know that name? He said, he was a friend of my father's. I said, no shit. I mean, this was like a divine crossing of paths. And I said, hey, can you give me Tom's number? I need to hear it from the horse. I got to talk to this guy. I got to find out what the hell really happened. He said, I couldn't believe that this had happened. And because, you know, you had plenty of money. You didn't need to make any money. You know, you had a big name, the biggest name. Why would you get, and how could this happen to this guy? I needed to know, how could this happen to this guy? And, you know, so me and Tom started talking. Tom explained to me what happened, and I felt terrible, you know. And throughout the years after, you know, I would end up going on other people's podcasts, you know, and one guy in particular pulled me in from out of nowhere, and I decided, you know, yeah, I'll be a guest host. And they would go on to this rant and start putting Tom down, and I'd say, hey, you know, no, if you guys are going to go on this, like this little bullshit rant that you guys are doing, I'm going to step off. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be a part of it. I said, it's rude to talk to somebody who's not here to defend themselves. You know, it's really chicken shit to sit there and have a podcast and not have somebody there to defend themselves. And I said, I don't believe for one minute that Tom would have done this. You know, there's just no way somebody who's on top of the world with putting more boots on the ground, with more mileage on those boots, is going to be just getting caught up. So I knew right off the bat that it was because Tom had put the money out. He put a bounty out. There was a bounty, basically. And so, you know, whenever there's money involved, whenever somebody stands to make a quick dollar, you know, that you're going to end up, you know, having somebody come in that's going to be, you know, going to try and sapsuck you out of, you know, some kind of BS. And so, you know, I mean, at that point, I realized that, you know, Tom, I know he's a smart man. And I knew that the reason you got taken for a ride was because the guys that were, you know, the ones taking you for a ride, they were credible people, at least we thought, you know. One of them was a cop. One of the other guys was a correction officer, you know. They both worked with the government. Those are the kind of people we look for, you know. We don't want to get some bozo bum. We don't want to get the town drunk. We're looking for somebody who has something to lose, you know. They got their word is their honor. And the fact that these guys pulled the shenanigan, well, I believe at least one of them got fired for lying under oath, and I don't know what happened, but I know that they did pay the price for their stupidity. But they took Tom down with them, and that is something that, you know, is very hard to get back. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for Tom. You know, Tom, you took your licks, but you didn't let it take you all the way. You brushed yourself off and you got back in it. Some guys would have let them, you know, they would have just let that be the finish of them. But Tom didn't. He brushed himself off. And when you brush yourself off and go, you know what, hey, tough role, you know, but I'm getting right back on my feet and I'm going to do it. That's a sign of honest error. If Tom was lying and this had happened, he would have never have ever even jumped back in the game. And that's my, honest.
Let me interrupt just for a second, Chris. And well put, and thank you for this. It's the first time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm hearing this coming out of Chris's mouth. And I'm sitting here stunned that he's hitting all the right bases in the right period of time, especially now with the re-outing of the new Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, Mark, because remember one thing, ladies and gentlemen, the film that has been taken on this DVD, that compilation that has been put together, okay, is in real time. Remember what I just said to you, real time. So that's when things were happening then, there, as it was happening, okay? You will see in this movie the whole story from the beginning till the end. And it just, when I see the ending of this thing and see how they auctioned that suit off, even then when they didn't even have it, it was in our possession, and they sold it for over $253,000. It just blew me away. But that's okay, because I want everybody in the world to see this new digitally manufactured. Mark will get into this and tell you all the quirks about it, you know, with all that new digital shit. But you will see this as it happened in real time. We never got our rightfully due. But I'm going to tell you right now, besides you people actually seeing it in real time, we are going to take people down now because of stuff they have on their websites, pictures that they have on their website that they have stolen from us. You brought up a very good point, Chris, when you said, yeah, finding Bigfoot and all those people, they took from our show. That's right, because all those episodes, a lot of them, were taken from our website that you could see where we had been first on the scene. You're exactly right, Chris. You've done your homework. You're a smart dude, okay? But at the same point in time, I want to tell everybody, if it's okay with you, we're at my house. I invited him for dinner, and I put on Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax, and he's seeing it on the big screen for the first time himself, and he says, Tom, my God, I never got to see these movies. No wonder why you got awarded Best Documentary on all those three films, ladies and gentlemen. Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, and Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax. I only entered those three movies each different time, and we won. I didn't enter any of the rest because I already had three wins under my belt. And the key to it is I'm being judged by my peers. Over 500 other people had sent in their movies. We won. We became number one. three different times. So are we that bad or are we that good? Okay? But the thing I want to stress, it doesn't lie. Real time that you see in these DVDs or electronically, and Mark will get into all that bullshit because I don't know any of it, you will see it firsthand. And when I saw it along with him, because I don't look at my own movies, along with Chris the other night, and he's looking straight up there and he's not talking. And he's, so then I'll pause and he'll say, oh, my God, I didn't know. Geez, you go from Texas to Michigan to Florida, from Florida to New York, New York to Minnesota, Minnesota to Montana. He says, wow, this is real. This isn't fake bullshit. This isn't weekend quarterback people. I loved you for that. And thank you, Chris. It made me feel like $1 million because this is all I had known at the time. We didn't know about all that other crazy shit about bullshitting everybody like all these other guys did. But we did it because we're trying to get to the end of this thing and find out to the core and find out, is this thing real? Yeah, it is real, ladies and gentlemen, because I've had 7 experiences in my lifetime. And we've been all over this country. And you see it in the movies. When you see them, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay? So now let's get back to my good brother, Mark. Mark, tell everybody about, everybody's been crazy about the Thailand deal because we couldn't get to go because the administration office called about all of the, worried about our well-being and we didn't want to get kidnapped and all that crap, but it's back on and we're going to go back out there again, ladies and gentlemen. We're just waiting for the right conducive time for us to go out. And oh, by the way, this entire thing will be filmed and will be filmed live as we're there. When we go from California to Thailand, land, wherever we end up, there will be a film crew filming and documenting this entire thing. Please,
yeah,
Mark,
absolutely.
Tell everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom. And, you know, if I could just step back real quickly, Chris made a great point when he said, you know, other lesser folks would be taken down by these kind of attacks that you suffered through, basically. And quite honestly, when your star rose even higher was after this. Because, you know, even the detractors, the haters, started paying even more attention to you. And more attention to you is always a good thing because, as Chris said, the stuff you did proves itself out. Somebody else would have stepped away quietly. You see that over and over and over in multiple different cases in the media where, you know, somebody's running a scam. When the veil is pulled away, they disappear too. Well, Tom didn't do that. He came back on stronger. And I think these films are evidence of that and their staying power. In my world, we call them evergreen. And Tom's movies have always been that way. There's always an audience for them. People always want to see these. They never go old. People are always rediscovering them because what he's doing is work that doesn't age. It's always going to be pertinent to what's going on in the world. We always want to know about Bigfoot. And lastly, I think it's important for people to also think back for those who are around during the time of the unbelievable level of attention that Tom brought to this. Nothing has happened that has brought that kind of attention nationwide, worldwide, to something associated with Bigfoot research. It has never happened again. I'm not sure people remember how crazy it was. You filled a ballroom with reporters from around the world. You shut down the internet.
Right.
And based on your belief of something being valid, and anatomy tells that story in a very succinct and entertaining and eye-opening manner. So I think it's going to be great. We will have future announcements on your show about when the debut is, streaming platforms it's available on, where to get DVDs and Blu-rays and all that good stuff. But Bigfoot Thailand, the expedition, the ultimate expedition, as Tom noted, the Thai government has expressed a lot of reluctance in helping promote the trip. Obviously, they can't say don't do it. I mean, I guess they could, but they haven't been and saying, hey, come on, you know, the entryway to the rainforests are open, step right in. They know there are political issues that create an environment of violence and unrest. And the last thing a foreign favored country wants is a group of U.S. researchers to be kidnapped or killed or both as they're doing something to enlighten the rest of the world. So they have strongly suggested to pause the expedition, which Tom has wisely agreed to. However, there's also been stories of disappearances and sightings in these areas as well. And are those nefarious actions or are those Bigfoot actions? We don't know. That's why Tom's taking a team there. When they do go, as he noted, there will be cameras waiting. Tom will arrive with much fanfare, as he should. There will be a crew waiting. People will be able to log on and watch the expedition from multiple points of view. You can check in. You can watch it, you know, stream it 24/7. You can watch it like the highlights of it. There will be a lot of viewing options. This is a really, really, really unique expedition in the way it's going to be captured live. This does not really happen. What's important is for folks listening to tell all your Bigfoot enthusiast friends and people who are just interested in expeditions and finding new things to keep track of this. It's very important that we have a groundswell of folks that want to be part of this, want to hear about it, want to learn more about it, want to help in some way, want to keep track of what Tom finds, what his crew finds, what they see. And Tom will continue to release information on how that can be done. ThaiBigfoot.com gives some information. It's updated. We're awaiting some statements and some possible video, news video from foreign TV that speaks to the expedition being delayed. And as soon as that's available, that'll be posted there. But again, it's going to be a big deal. It will be available to watch live. It will be available as a documentary after the fact. And then all the usual other ways you can access that. But it's going to be good stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate you staying up late. Since you get up awful early in the morning, you're constantly doing business. But I'll tell you this. I am indebted to you and so many other people who have been in my corner all this time. There's something that I need for you to put out there and let the people know. A lot of people think that they're covered stealing our images, our work from our website and posting it on their websites and taking our movies, by the way, and duplicating them and selling them on the internet. Tell them, do you have a warning for those kind of people?
Yeah. Don't do it, number one. One, it's theft. There is, for some reason, I mean, it's really, there is zero difference between watching it off of a pirated site or pulling it off of a web rip and watching it versus walking into Walmart, grabbing a copy on DVD and walking right out the door. Although in Tom's part of the country, people do that now, and they should be arrested. But It's the same thing. You shouldn't steal. That being said, you will be prosecuted. We continuously monitor this stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's taken dollars out of Tom's pocket and all the rest of the team that worked on these projects with him. It's not something that should be done. It's not something that's taken lightly. I have folks I work with who search regularly. We have keywords. We know what to look for. We just found pictures last week that were Tom's. So it takes some time. We issue a cease and desist, and then depending on what the offense is, if you're actually selling the movie, Tom and I, with his permission, I went hard after a gentleman on eBay who was selling compilations of Tom's movies. He had his own little DVD store set up. He must have bought all of Tom's movies at one point, and then he was just replicating them and putting them all in box sets that he made and selling them on eBay. And nobody was getting any money from it. So these folks think they're getting away with it. By the way, that gentleman, while we weren't able to fine him because the amount of money to, you know, go through the court system and do all that would have, you know, not been worth it on our end, what we were able to do was disable his ability to ever interact with eBay again, which that puts a big dent in his pocketbook, I'm sure, and that's what we wanted to do. While we can't gain money, I want to shut these assholes down, and that's the kind of stuff we're doing. So don't take Tom's pictures. He did a lot of work, as Chris said. He was on the ground. Nobody's done that stuff. Who paid for that? Tom paid for that. He brought people in. They went state to state researching, searching, doing all kinds of things. He spent his own money to make these movies. He spent his own money to have photos taken, developed, put up on websites. That stuff just doesn't happen. Tom spent money, time, effort. He spent his resources to get it done. It's nobody else's but his. Those are licensed images, videos, and words. And you can't just grab them and use them where you want to. And we will find out sooner or later. It may take a while. It takes a long time, and then you have to shut it down. We've shut down copies of Tom's movies on YouTube. I think we're up to 19 times now we've done that, which is a high number. That's a very high number. And this, you know, it annoys the people who just think they can do it. And they put up this, what they call a fair use doctrine at the very beginning, which basically is a BS government construct. But it doesn't work. You can't just say, hey, fair use doctrine, I'm going to start streaming episodes of Friends, and you pay me 10 cents and you can watch them, and then I sell 10,000 a day. I can't just do that, and you can't just do that with Tom's stuff either. So I'm glad you brought that up, Tom, because it's very important to protect the integrity of your work, your copyrighted work.
I appreciate it, because a lot of this has been brought to mind by you, by people like Chris, and I want the world to understand, okay, that I've been doing this a long time, and yes, again, I appreciate what you said about I put out my money, my time away from my family like everybody else, okay? And I took care of my guys, okay, the best way I could. I wanted to make sure that they could eat, they could travel and not be disparaged in one way or another. But this fair use doctrine thing really pisses me off, because everybody thinks that they're all covered. Oh, I'm going to take your image and your work and your words, and I'm going to post them on my website and tell the world that you're this, you're that, and everything else. You know, there's a thing called slander and libel, okay? And, you know, I'm at the point in time in my life that I don't give a shit no more, okay? I'll put your ass down. I'll close your ass down. Okay, I'll spend good money into bed, because most of you son of a bitches out there don't have two nickels to rub together, okay, and or got a pot to piss in. So you think you're going to get rich on my behalf? It ain't going to happen as long as I'm alive. You take me out, it's another story. But if you take me out, you better make sure your fucking magazine is loaded, baby, and make sure that they're hollow nosed. Because it's going to take that to put my ass in the ground. And I'll tell you straight up, when I'm gone, this show will still be going on, because I got some strong people with me. Look, I want to thank you, Mark. I know for you to stay up, like I said, this late and doing what you're doing. But I want everybody to know. And by the way, how are we coming on that compilation of that son of a bitch that we're going to be posting pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we're making sure we get every piece of it for you, so you have a nice, robust. So there's no somebody can't say, oh, you just cherry picked it. When you see repetitive behavior from an individual, that means there's a pattern. There's a reason that person's doing that. I mean, this plays out not just with your, instance. It plays out. You know, this is what. Look, they do in a court of law if you've ever been sued and it's something that they're trying to prove you have a habit of doing. They will show evidence where you have repetitive behavior, repetitive sayings. It's used when somebody is labeled a racist. It's used when somebody is labeled a sexist or committing crimes. And that's what we're doing to illuminate the habit of an individual that Tom's going to talk about a little bit. This is the same individual who's using this fair use statement on his website so he can basically have licensed photos that aren't even Tom's even. They're licensed because so many professional photographers were chasing Tom that these folks work for massive media institutions. You can't just pull these people's images and copyrighted works and just say, oh, I can use what I want. And they have far deeper resources than we have to go after some of these people. So we're going to make people aware of things that are happening that should not be happening and let that play out. And it's called a shitstorm is what that's called when you start stirring that up. And nobody ever wants to get hit with that, believe me. You just don't want to be part of that.
Yeah, well, well put, by the way. It just brings me to no end, and I keep saying to myself, what is the reason? Why are they doing? What's their gain in this? And I finally figured it out. Okay, if you know what a sociopath is, does anybody know what out there what a sociopath is?
Oh, I know what it is, believe me. And I'll tell this sociopath was taking a ride on your vapor trail because he didn't have a name for himself, but Tom did. And so he was on the vapor trail taking a free ride, and he was all good and giddy to go and giddy up go as long as he was getting a name for himself while rubbing elbows with Tom. But the minute things didn't go right, you know, when he realized he screwed up, he decides to sell Tom under the bus to keep his name up on top. And his time's going to come, and it's not very far away because I got people. We're on it.
and I love you all for it. I'll tell you, that's exactly what it is. Okay, it's. Problematic behaviors, man, you know, such as, you know, lying and illegal behavior, okay? That's what they are, these kind of people, all right? They're people who take advantage of others for their own personal gain. That's exactly what's happened here, okay? And it bothers me to no end, and I'm tired of it. I'm not going to, all these years I've been quiet, okay? I wanted nothing to do with these people. Well, now I'm getting to the point. It's just like when I saw you the other day, Chris, and you blew me away. And you looked at those videos like you were it was the first time for you. You were like a little kid. And you said, you were pissed. You were actually pissed. And you said, that son of a bitch. I thought you were going to get up. Get out and get your car and drive somewhere where this guy is and lay him out if you want to know the truth. I really felt that about you because you were really pissed.
The fantasy crossed my mind.
I'm sure it did. But, you know, enough with all that negative shit with these morons. And, Mark, thank you. And please let us all know when everything is pretty near so we can have you back on the show, and I'll have the video up, and we'll let the world know who this clown is, and we'll take it from there, because I've already contacted legal today, and they're frothing at the mouth, ready to go. But the first thing, like they all say, is they probably don't have two nickels to rub together, so they got this highfalutin website that they're this, that, and everything else, but they don't, they're broke, they're busted, you know. They're probably living on welfare, on our dimes, as you know. But it is what
it
is.
Absolutely. As we get closer, you know, you will have, obviously, updates all along, and then you can decide, you know, when you're ready to put it out there. And the same with the Thai project and, obviously, the films, because once Anatomy is what we call fully live, which means it's on the streaming platforms it's supposed to be, and it's, you know, for sale and people are watching it, you know, we're moving right into the re-release of your, you know, your classic, Bigfoot Lives. It was a natural to put that one out there. Again, remastered. Tom does a nice introduction, talks a little about, there's some new footage in there, new packaging. It's, you know, it's going to be a big deal. And we're going to put that out in a multiple formats. So it is worldwide streaming, not just U.S., because there is interest in it. I mean, that film really, talk about it. It changed, I think Chris brought it up earlier, is, you know, these people watched what Tom was doing and copied it. And they had the, you know, pathways to maybe a network or large investors or something like that. So when they copied it, they just threw a bunch of money at it. And I think Tom and I, one of our very earliest conversations, I'm talking about 15 years ago, I'm like, you know, maybe not quite that long. I said, Tom, all they're doing is standing in these, like, meeting rooms and having people stand up and saying they thought they saw something. The camera doesn't move. The people don't – nothing happens. And your films are, you know, you're in 12 different cities crisscrossing the country. And so while they had more money, I don't know if you remember that conversation. I was like, I guess I don't get it. Like, who watches this? While they had more money – that doesn't mean they did a better job. And that plays out a lot too. You know, we've all seen that in other things as well. But, you know, Bigfoot Lives is Tom's classic. It really is. And I truly believe, I sell films for a living. I mean, this is what I do. And I truly believe that changed the scope of how Bigfoot documentaries became presented in a very popular and accessible manner. And Tom sort of set the tone for that. It's just like if you know anything about found footage, the found footage craze, which people say started with Blair Witch, you talk to those filmmakers and they say, oh, no. We learned our lessons from watching The Legend of Boggy Creek. We did not create the first found footage film. And, you know, and they're very forthcoming in saying that. And that's very good that they did that, because they're given credit where, and I think that's what's coming for Tom. Finally, is he's going to get credit for credits due. He's going to get it's going to become understood that he was not part of the hoax, because more people are going to see this movie, Anatomy, and then people are going to take another look at Tom, and they're going to say, wow, look at this. Look at Bigfoot Lives. This really set the stage, and I think that's what's coming for you, Tom.
You know, you just an epiphany just hit my head right now when you just said that, because I got to tell you something. I knew the guy that wrote, that directed and produced The Legend of Boggy Creek, okay? And The Legend of Boggy Creek is an icon. To quote Chris, what he told me the other day, he said, Tom, your work is iconic. Your work goes back all the way to the In the Shadow of Bigfoot with you and Ivan, okay? Which is really something that the world needs to see, because that's when I was a young kid and I was tutored, as far as I was concerned, by the best guy in the world at that time, Ivan Marks. And he was, you know, labeled as a hoaxer and all that bullshit. And those who've known Ivan, they know it's not true. I'd like to see them go out in the 500 bear and cougar off the land okay? And people paid him as an experienced guide. He was also the game warden up in Alaska. People don't know that, okay? They all know what, oh, no, he's the host. This is the folks, my ass. And the people that write that crap get paid to write that stuff, and they don't understand that they're defaming somebody, okay, or taking from them. You people out there have no idea of what my son and his family went through, that they were at school when all this crap was going on, those kids, and they said, oh, your father is part of that folk crap, okay? And they didn't want to go to school to listen to these kids tell them this shit, okay? But we went through it, and you said the right thing, Chris. I know it wasn't the truth. I kept on going with blinders, okay? I kept on going with blinders, okay? And the people that are on this show here tonight, the Rocky, my Rocky, the brother Rocky and the Swede, they know the truth. They've been out with me. Swede told me something today that I already forgot. And he says, Tom, do you remember when we were in Rockwall, Texas, about when it was my birthday? Tell them the story, Swede. Are you on?
I am. I'm just sitting here listening. And, you know, I told you that about you pulling up your bootstraps and getting stuff done, too, today in that conversation also. But what you're alluding to was, you know, we were talking about things that stick with you in episodes in your life that you never forget. And I reminded you of when how gracious you were when we went to Rockwall to investigate that sighting there at the river. And you found out it was my birthday, so we went direct. What do you like? And I said, oh, like anything. And you took us to the barbecue place, and we all ate barbecue, the whole crew did, for my birthday, and had the little cake and the little sing and all that. And it was very gracious and very, you know, I'll just never forget it. It was a really good time. Me and Rocky were there. We stayed out there in the brush, and of course we had the cops run us off and the whole bit, you know, it was the regular deal. All the Bigfoot people following us around and showing up at the restaurant, and it was
tell
amazing.
Them, tell them. Cryptomundo. Well,
yeah, and
remember
and
that?
The yes, indeed. And
I've never seen anybody put enough that to much say, food. Hey, come on in. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah. Tom said, come on in and get you something off the menu. Order you up some food. Of course he did. And
everything. Ordered everything on the menu.
Yeah. You know what blows my mind, guys? Here's what blows my mind. We were in this guy's backyard, and supposedly Cryptomundo was the king of the mountain. What does that tell you?
Oh, yeah, they were following
so
they us.
They had little minions.
They
follow us.
Yeah, you hit it right
on
the
what?
Head.
Like Bosco said, you know, you need to get – there's a lot of stuff that's not been told. You get all these people, yeah, it, you know, it's very flattering when people copy you, but when they vindictively go, you know, try to steal your thunder, but they don't know the whole story about it. And the people that are listening to that garbage don't know. Like when we were at the Italian restaurant, and all those people saw us pull up there, and they filled the restaurant full because everybody wanted autographs, and you got the DVDs out. And how many children were there that got movies and that were just so in totally, they'll never forget it. They're probably got those movies put up, you know, as collector's items. You know, nobody hears that part of all of it. You know, it's just some lame brain talking out of his butt.
The last time I went out with Tom, we only put 9,000 miles on my truck. Okay. He fed us for 9,000 miles. He saw to it that everything was handled. We went out, we searched for Bigfoot. We didn't find Bigfoot, but we searched for Bigfoot. Well, you know, moneymaker. I don't know how much money he's making, but he hasn't found Bigfoot either. But he hasn't searched for it. We did. We did for thousands of miles. And how many, I mean, I went out, I don't even know how many times that I've gone out with Tom. And, you know, I don't put very many miles on my truck until I met Tom. And the first time out, I put more miles on my truck than I had put on it for, you know, the 2 years that I had it before I started running with Tom. Well, you know, trucks get hungry too. Tom said, so was that. If I got hungry, he said, fill you up. People who have talked Tom down, all the people that have talked that kind of stupid shit have never met Tom. Sure as hell has
right.
been out with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
tell you two boys, Seth, you're bringing tears to my eyes right now. When I think about these trips, I get melancholy. And I never thought of things like that before because of, you know, it's the way I was bred, man. You know, you got a piece of bread, you share it with someone else. You got something to drink, you share it with somebody else. But you're bringing back
is,
so many memories.
The thing
no,
that is, we're bringing back the memories because the memories are always with us.
That's right. They don't ever go away, Tom. You got to know.
Yeah.
By the way, while
I got you, Rocky, hold on. Chris brought up a good point earlier in the show about the men in black. Tell you something, we're going to talk next week about the real men in black that Rocky and I and Swede and my team had experienced when we were in Arkansas. Not only there, then we got that call that Jim that lived in Arkansas when we went out there, Rocky. And we stayed at his place.
Mm-hmm.
When we got the call from the government that they had a jet ready for us over there by Area 51 outside of Las Vegas, or actually in Las Vegas by the airport. And I'll never forget that day, okay, because we were all going to go. But you want to hear about the real stories of the men in black? You stay tuned till next week, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going to tell you. You're going to hear Rocky tell the story along with me and my guys, and you'll hear the actual things that went on, okay? The actual time that Rocky was kidnapped along with his dad by the men in black, and they beat the shit out of him. How many days?
5 days.
5 days. 5 days, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to hear that actual story.
5 days,
yeah.
And 4 teeth.
Yeah, and they knocked out 4 of his teeth. So you're going to hear the real deal. And, you know, this has been an eye-opening situation. You know, hour was really too short. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to next week. We're going to have one of the greatest shows I think we ever had. Welcome back, everybody. The predictions on the weather, I told you guys, happened. We went through another crazy winter, like we went through the crazy summer. Mark, thank you from the bottom of my heart, Val. Chris, you know you're my family.
Love being on,
Rocky,
Tom.
Yeah, Rocky and
thanks,
and
Mark.
We'll be forever as we are, all of us, and now. Till next time, America. Kudos and salutations. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pops.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.